Hello, and welcome to the Way Family Podcast. My name is Zach, and my wife is here with me. We're
Hi.
Sitting on our couch
Hello.
And trying to calm down our little puppy. Today, we're going to talk about goals and minimizing our house. So, woohoo.
Woohoo. Woohoo.
Woohoo. Piles of heads, piles of bodies.
It's from Venom, if you didn't know. That's actually a really funny movie. It looked, from the previews, it looks really scary and intense. It's not scary, but I mean, there's F words and stuff, so like, don't go see it with your kids, but it's really funny.
Oh, he does eat some guy's heads off.
Yeah, but they don't show anything. It's not like gory. It's just like, there's a biting noise and then... That's it. But it's a really funny movie.
I felt very loved because Hannah did not really want to see that movie, and I wanted to see it. And we had a big fight. And then...
Not about the movie. But yesterday.
But we made up. And then we were going to watch a movie because it was date night, because we're scheduling date night now, because that's how big of nerds we are. And
no, that's just how busy we are.
I'm not using that word this
year.
Oh,
okay. Well, excuse me. I wasn't aware of the vocabulary change.
Not using the B word this year.
No.
And so, yeah, I felt loved because Hannah's like, well, what movie should we rent? And I was like, I don't know. You pick. And guess what she picked? Venom. And it was good.
I really liked it. So it was a win for everybody.
Yeah. Win-win all the way around. But thank you, honey.
Yep.
Made me feel loved. What movie did you want to rent that wasn't out yet?
The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Oh, yes. We also saw the Solo movie.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of people recommended it. A couple of people did not recommend it. But we saw it anyways, and it was good.
It was good.
It was very Disney-y for a Star Wars movie, but I liked it as a standalone movie, you know? So we've been out of commission with the podcast for about 2 months, I'm guessing. I don't know, a month and a half?
Yeah, I think maybe even longer than that.
A lot has happened since then. And, Christmas, New Year's, Happy New Year to you and yours. And, we spent Christmas at Hannah's parents. And her grandparents were there, and her sister was there. And
wait,
so
can I talk about this? Since I already explained all this, and then it wasn't even recording.
Yes. We're a little rusty here.
I was, like, talking for, like, 3 minutes, and then Zach's like, nope, not even recording. Okay, well, anyways, yeah, I don't actually know when the last episode was published, but I feel like it was around the miscarriage episode, which, I mean, was probably, like... October, I'm guessing. So that's like three months. But anyways, yeah, for Christmas, we were traveling just to the Bay Area. It's like 4 hours away from us. And my family lives there. My parents and my sister and her husband all live there. And my grandparents from Minnesota were visiting for Christmas. And my sister, who lives in Washington, D.C., was visiting. And it was really good to see everybody, obviously. And, yeah, it was just fun to be all together and play games and, like, do all of our traditions. This is what I was going on and on about. Well, not going on and on about, but I was explaining our traditions because we have – my family has, like, very strict – not very strict traditions, but, like, we do them every year. Because my dad's side of the family is German. My mom's side of the family is Scandinavian. And so we have food that we make every year, like no matter what. So on my dad's side, we always make this thing called Veronica. It's basically like a dumpling or like a ravioli. And there's like cheese and egg stuff on the inside. And you have it with like this gravy. So we like roll out the dough, the pasta dough, and then like stuff them with the stuff. And, you know.
And you eat them while you're making them.
No. Veronica?
Oh, no, sorry.
No.
That's lefse.
And then...
It's the other side of the family.
Yeah, so that's the German side, the Veronica dumpling things, and they're really good. You have them with gravy. And we always have like this contest. Well, we used to always have this contest of who could eat the most. And I fell out of the running for that way like years ago. But now my sisters always
go for it.
You're
like fourth place and there's only three of you.
Because I like to try all the other good food too. But then
they're like eating a nine. You're eating three.
I know. I really did only have three. And Mallory was on like 9 or 10 this year. But they pride themselves on how many they can eat.
They're like, oh, I shouldn't do this. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mallory's like gluten intolerant too. And she's like, I can't not.
Must win.
Anyways. And then on the Swedish-Norwegian side of the family, we make Swedish meatballs, which I didn't get to make them this year because they already had them made. And then we also make lefse, which is kind of like a crepe slash tortilla thing. It's like a potato. It's made out of potatoes and like flour and cream. And you roll it out like a tortilla, but you roll it super thin. And there's like an art to it. And then you have to like put it on this special griddle. And then you serve it with butter and sugar and you roll it up. And it's so good. So we got to make that too. It's just really fun. It's like now we get to show our kids these fun, I don't know, these fun traditions that I grew up doing. And like it's been fun to have Zach do it with us the last five, well, probably more years because you've been there.
It was a big stage when I was able to make lefse with the
Yeah,
family.
It was. It was a big deal because like we don't let just anybody roll the lefse dough. And you're like, oh, okay.
All right. Well, I'll just sit in the corner over here.
No, that they're saying like this is a big deal that we're letting you do this.
Oh, heck no.
Charlie is acting up. He's like totally ready for bed. Puppies are difficult. So sweet and so fun, but then they try to bite all of the time.
The biting is like, and I know it's normal because they're puppies and their mouth is like their hands. They're just discovering the world. I know that, but it's difficult to get bit all the time, especially when you're just trying to have a nice freaking moment with your dog.
Yeah, you're like cuddling up and he's totally ready for bed and yawning. And then he's just like, oh, now I think this would be a good time to roll over and bite you.
Yeah, seriously. Like he just like slowly rolls his head over and opens his mouth and is all of a sudden biting.
Turd.
But he is like pretty much potty trained, I would say. I mean, don't want to jinx it, but yeah, he's doing good. I don't know how old he is now, but we've had him for over a month.
15 weeks?
No, I think he's like 13, maybe 14 weeks. But
he's like double in size from when we got him.
He's not so big, but like he was a tiny little roly poly ball when we got him. And he peed on our floor so much and he pooped on our floor so much.
For like 1 week.
It was like, yeah, it was like a week straight where it was like, almost every single time was like in the house. And then now he's like, he'll sit by the door or bark by the door when he needs to go to the bathroom. And it's so nice. It's so nice. I feel like really relieved that we have that at least out of the way. But yeah, he's got a lot of energy, and now he's sleeping under the table.
Finally.
But, yeah, it's fun to have a puppy. It's so fun, and it is a lot of
work. So that was one of our Christmas presents
That was, like, the main Christmas present.
Hannah's Christmas present to me, my Christmas present to Hannah, our Christmas present to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited about that. But I also got you something else.
That was for our anniversary, wasn't it? And what, you have to tell them what I got you. Hello.
Oh, I'm getting to that. Trust me.
I was saving up for this for a while.
But what did I get you for Christmas? It's behind us.
Oh, a piano.
How could you forget?
Because you gave it to me like 3 weeks early.
Well, like 2 weeks early.
Yeah,
but now
that's how I forgot.
It's in the house now.
Yeah, he got me a piano. From Craigslist. We were just at family dinner like a month ago at Zach's grandma's house. And, well, probably more than a month, but... And she has a piano. And I used to play piano when I was little. I took lessons from when I was in first grade until, like, I don't know, 10th or 11th grade? Well, no, I think 10th grade because we moved later. But maybe it was 9th grade. I don't know. A very long time. And it was like we had to practice 30 to 45 minutes every single day. Like that was what we had to do every day when we got home from school, me and my sisters. So it was a lot of piano playing, and I hated it at the time. But then when I saw her piano and I was playing it, I was like, oh, I miss it so much. So Zach found a piano on Craigslist, and he got it for me for Christmas, and it's so nice.
And it does make our house seem more like a home, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I refinished it, and now we just have to get it tuned. I mean, it's not like bad out of tune.
It's not really bad at all.
But it's just some of the notes, because there's three strings. Did you know this? There's three strings per note. And so each three of those have to be tuned.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's like one key, like once you're not just tuning one string like on a guitar. You have to tune all three, like a 12-string guitar. There's doubles or a mandolin. But anyways. Hannah got me something that I've been dreaming about and researching, and she picked the best brand. So props to you.
Yeah.
We got a robot vacuum cleaner. By iRobot.
DJ Roomba. We call him Alfred.
We call him Alfred.
Forrest calls him Fred.
Yeah. And he cleans our floor every night while we're sleeping. And it is magical.
It's so nice.
I feel like we're living in the future.
It's really satisfying, like, when you clean out the thing and you see all the stuff that he got up, because it's like so much dust that we don't really realize, because we have a big family room. It's like super wide open, and it's all like wood floors except for the rugs that we have, obviously, and we don't even realize the dust that collects like just on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets up so much stuff that like you just wouldn't even think. It's so satisfying,
and especially with a dog now, and I mean with kids, it's just, it's so nice.
There's crumbs everywhere all the time, no matter what. So it's nice to have it clean in the morning when we wake up.
Yeah. And it's awesome.
And then it just gets dirty again.
I just get a notification on my phone, and it's like, Alfred has completed cleaning.
And then it goes back to its little charging base.
Goes back to its servants' quarters.
So he's like our butler. We named Alfred after the butler on Batman.
Yeah. But enough of all that stuff.
Wait, and then, sorry, one more thing. Tell them about what you did for our anniversary. Okay, wait, so the Roomba was, I don't know why I call it Roomba, but that was an anniversary and Christmas gift.
Well, it is a Roomba.
Was that because it was a bigger gift. But anyways, then Zach did something else. So what did you do?
So it was our 5-year anniversary on December 28th. And we had been talking about going to Hawaii in 2019, and I decided to surprise Hannah and plan the whole trip and buy the tickets and get the Airbnb and find a babysitter for while we're gone. And so I told her on our anniversary that I had secretly planned this all, and we are leaving in less than a month.
And I was so surprised. I could not believe it.
So we're going to Kauai for a week in February, and I'm very excited.
Me too.
And Hannah has a lot of plans of what she wants to do.
I got a guidebook.
But I just kind of want to chill, so we'll have to meet somewhere in the middle.
I'm so excited.
If we snorkel and I can sit at the beach and read.
And the paddle boarding.
Yeah. So the Airbnb that we got has kayaks and stand-up paddle boards and
bikes,
which is nice. I'm actually pretty excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
So we can just bike to go get dinner, and yep.
It's going to be so fun. And no kids. I'm so excited.
But 5 years. It's been so long. We've been doing the podcast for over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's...
I think it's just about 2 years. Or is it just about 3 years? Because Forrest was just about... Well, he had just turned one when we started.
Yeah, just about 3 years. Yes, oh, my gosh. 3 years. So if you're still listening...
Oh, that makes me feel old. I'm just kidding.
We love you.
Yeah,
We're almost 30. And but anyways, today...
What?
Yeah, we're 2 years away from 30.
I know, but why did you say that just now?
You said, wow, I'm old.
I said, that makes me feel... I was making a joke when it's like, we've been doing this almost 3 years. Oh, that makes me feel old.
Well,
didn't land, apparently.
I'll insert a laugh track. Actually, I'll probably forget. I'm going to bed as soon as we record this. I've been waking up at 5:30 because that is one of my goals.
But not on the weekends, though.
Not on the weekends. But on the weekends, I wake up when my body wants to wake up. In the mornings, I'm trying to create a habit of waking up at 5:30, which means that I need to go to bed at 10:30, like asleep by 10:30, so I can get 7 hours of sleep. I read 36 books last year, and one of them, well, actually a lot of them were about goal setting and personal growth and development and minimizing and parenting and marriage and family. And I basically came to this idea that we fall into these routines, and routines are not bad or good. Routines are just passive. Routines are just like what we do to make our life work. And we typically fall into the most comfortable routine. And so I have been working on implementing rituals instead of routines, because while routines are passive, rituals are active and they have a purpose. And so with setting goals for 2019 and thinking of what we want to accomplish and what our purpose for 2019 should be and what the purpose of our family should be and the purpose of our marriage and everything like that, we've written out some goals. And I actually got pretty nerdy about it and heavily encouraged Hannah to, and she actually enjoyed it.
You gave me goal templates.
I did.
It was very helpful, though. I didn't fill out most of it, but it was helpful to see like what I needed to make like a substantial goal.
Yeah, so I led a book club where I work. I'm in charge of the book club, and we just take all of the team members through a book every quarter. And so I choose the books, and the book that I chose was called The Best Year, Your Best Year Ever by Michael Hyatt. And it's a little bit cheesy, and
I mean, the title is cheesy just by itself, but
no, but the book is a little bit cheesy.
Yeah, I believe it is what I'm saying.
But I like Michael Hyatt. Like, he's a good dude, and he's got some really insightful information and tips and tricks. And so while I was taking our team through that, I wrote up some resources for them in order to write their goals for 2019, because I planned it out so that we'd finish the book at the end of 2018. And so I wrote out one goal for each category of my life. And there's three circles of being. There is the circle of relating, the circle of doing, and the circle of, wait, what did I say?
Relating.
Relating,
doing,
and being.
Oh boy.
So with each of those circles, those are kind of like the areas of wellness that we had talked about before, but he kind of expounds on it a little bit more. So he has 10 categories. Let me see if I can name them off. There's marital, there's parental, there's social, there's physical, there's intellectual, there's emotional, there's vocational, there's advocational.
Spiritual.
What's the last one? Intellectual, emotional. Well.
Environmental? Financial.
Financial, yes.
Why did I remember that and you didn't?
Because we were just doing the budget stuff. And so I have written goals for each of those. And we had talked about SMART goals before, but he adds some. And he says that our goals should be SMARTER. SMARTER. Specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, time-bound, energizing, and risky.
Oh.
Or exciting. No, it's exciting and risky. Because if it's not risky, then, and you could probably already do it, then what's the point of setting a goal for it? And if it's not exciting, then why would you be working towards it?
Mm-hmm.
So Hannah and I have been doing some of these goals. And what are some of yours? Do you have them written down?
I have them on my goal templates, but I haven't put them in my planner yet. I don't have them on my phone, but I remember some of them. One of them is to go to the gym 2 times a week minimum. I have the plan that I'm on is 3 times a week, but sometimes it's hard to even go 1 time a week. So I'm like saying 2 times a week minimum, and then 3 times, obviously I can do 3 times if the schedule allows. And that is like marking off more than one. That's advocational and physical and like emotional / mental.
Right.
Because it helps all of those things. And then for marital, I didn't do a goal in every single area because I just can't focus on all the areas like that. And I know you're supposed to break it up into quarters, but that's, I just did.
So for the listeners, if there's 10 categories, that's a whole lot of stuff to be working on. Like, that's a ton.
Yeah, that's like apparently all the areas that you have. And I mean, when you list them out like that, it makes sense that that's all the areas of like wellness or whatever you want to call it. But it's just like, I can only focus on like 3 at a time max and like still be like thriving. You know, if I'm trying to do more than that, then it's just not going to work. So I have smaller goals in like 3 categories, but I have multiple goals in each of them, not 3 categories, but like just less categories than 10. So,
right. So you're going to be working on like 3 of them for the first quarter.
Well, yeah, it's going to be like marital and parental and then physical and advocational and also vocational. But I just didn't set goals on the other ones, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to pay attention to the other ones. It's just like, yeah. Anyways, so the goals that I have were work out 2 times a week.
Minimum.
Minimum. And then for marital, we're having a date night every week. And only 2 of those is going to be like going out somewhere because we have only a couple babysitters that we can use. So
we don't want to burn them all out.
Yeah. So we're going to have a date night once a week, but some of them are going to be just at our house. So like last night we ordered food and we watched a movie. And I'm trying to remember some of my other goals. I have like some work goals that like are not going to make sense here. One that I really wanted to do was knit 2 new things a month and then like send them to somebody. Because I realized that I didn't really have any hobbies, like, besides work. Because for me, my work is, like, a lot of it is just social media. And it's really easy for me to just be on social media and just do, like, work stuff, you know? Or, like, start out doing work stuff and then end up just scrolling forever, looking at nothing. So I realized that I had to do things that I like to do rather than just like work stuff. Like I need to figure out my hobbies. So I'm trying to knit more and I don't have to do it for any work or anything. Like I'm not selling things, but I really like giving things to people. So I'm going to do that.
And you really like knitting. Like it's a good way for you to unwind.
Yeah. I love knitting. So I'm trying to have that be like my end of the day routine, like my cup of tea, my knitting, and maybe I'll watch the Great British Baking Show or something. Whatever I fancy. Yeah, there's a couple other ones, but that's just some of mine. And they're very specific to me. But I also want to read because I have a whole bunch of books that I want to do. But we have a marital goal of reading 2 books together. And we already read 1, but we didn't really like do anything with it. We just both read it separately. And then so we're going to like have our own little book club. And then that was The Path Between Us. And then the other one we're going to do is The Minimalist Home. And I'm planning to read that on our trip. So,
yeah. So, one cool thing about the marriage goal is Hannah and I are both working on a marriage goal. And it's like extremely multifaceted. So let me pull mine up on my phone here.
Another one of our marriage goals was to go to a conference too.
Right.
Sometime this year.
But why did we want to implement a goal?
What
was our goal? So we had talked about a rally cry, remember?
Yes.
A rally cry comes from like...
are you talking about be more romantical?
Yes, be more romantical. Oh. That's the goal, right?
Well, get on the same page was the original title of the goal.
Well, that was my title. And you said be more romantical. And then I was like, well, what do you mean by that? And you were asking me what I meant by that. And it turns out, guess what? We were talking about the same thing, right? It's just different language.
Mm-hmm.
And... so I was like, well, what does it mean to be more romantical? What does it mean?
Well, I think that we just got to this point where we are basically just like roommates, like running a household together. And it just, I don't know, like we just get busy and tired and have a lot of work to do. And then we just kind of forget about each other. So I just wanted to have us like, not be forgetting about each other and mm-hmm. like, I don't know, be in love.
Right.
I don't know how to explain it.
There's so many distractions and there's so many, I've told you this before, but there's our relationship is multifaceted, right?
Mm-hmm. We're not like the normal relationships.
Okay.
We got multifacets.
Oh my gosh. No. What are some parts of our relationship?
Parents.
Okay, yep.
And I don't remember the other terms, we're but like, household peoples.
We're like friends, you know?
Budget people, business people, like all the things. Like we have to...
life partners.
Figure out our finances. We have to figure out how to keep our house clean. We have to figure out like our schedules. But it just seemed like all of that stuff was like taking over and none of the like you and me stuff was... any priority at all.
Right.
So, like, I don't mean, like, be more romantical, like, sweep me off my feet and, like, kiss me under the mistletoe or something like that. That's, like, not what I meant. It just felt dumb to say, but, like, that, like, I didn't know how else to say it, so I said be more romantical.
And what I was focusing on is getting on the same page in order that we could focus more on our relationship. So I was thinking if we could get on the same page.
So we both had it like opposite.
Right.
Like you wanted to get on the same page so we could be more romantical. And I wanted to be more romantical so that we could then get on the same page. Because once I feel connected and like understood, then I feel like we can work on things together better.
Right.
And you were like the opposite. You're thinking of it the opposite.
Well, I was thinking, okay, here's the problem. What is the solution? Let's implement the solution, and then we will solve the problem, right? Mm-hmm. But you're like, I just want the solution.
No, I didn't see it like that. I didn't see that as the problem and that as the solution. I saw it the opposite as you. I saw the problem being we're not connecting with each other at all, and... That was like the main thing to me. And I thought the solution for that is to make each other a priority. And I understand what you're saying, but I thought of it backwards than you thought of it.
Or I thought it backwards than you thought of it. We thought of it differently.
Mm-hmm.
But so we made this goal and the main goal is to be more romantical or to get on the same page. And at least I wrote it down. The reason why is we want to grow closer together and be more romantical and get on the same page. And the reward for completing this will be planning a 2020 road trip together, because that's something that we've wanted to do. And I think we need, I don't know, I'm not like big into the rewarding yourself for achieving goals.
Yeah.
Because especially in this case, it's like the reward is achieving the goal.
I like the reward thing, but I've never really done that. I just like that idea.
Yeah, you would.
Treat yourself.
But we're also working on, like, one thing is to get out of debt. And there's a lot of specific steps that we need to take. So we have a monthly budget meeting. And then we have we're going to follow up on the 15th just to make sure that we're on track and make any course corrections. Do you know what I wrote the reward for that for me is?
What?
We can start looking at buying a 4Runner.
Oh, my.
2014 or newer.
Oh, my gosh. Your dream.
Yeah. Well, also yours.
No.
Do you want the Subaru Ascent? But it's basically a minivan.
I want the Subaru Ascent. I don't even care. Give me the Subaru minivan.
So, in order to achieve our goal of being more romantical and getting on the same page, what are some of the things that we're going to have to implement? What are the next steps that we're going to have to take?
Okay, well, some of my goals go into this. Well, one of my main goals goes into this. It is tidying up our room and the living room kitchen area. Not like deep cleaning, just tidying it up before Zach gets home from work, because that is a big stressor for you. Right?
This is true.
When it's cluttery, then you can't relax. So that is like a marital goal for me, is that doing that, because I'm not naturally a tidier. That doesn't come naturally to me. I don't just like see something and need to tidy it up right away. So I mean,
to use your own term, you are a trash person.
Okay, stop. I don't like that term anymore. It's not funny.
It was funny for like the first 12 times.
Yeah,
now
that was
the 13th time.
No,
not funny.
It's not even. You've said that way more times than 12, and I'm over it. You can't say it anymore. I can say it only.
Okay, very well.
Anyways,
apologize. That's your term. I didn't say that.
I am not a trash person. I'm not like dirty. I just am not tidy. It's annoying when you say it now.
Oh, gosh.
Makes
wow.
me feel bad.
I take it back. I apologize.
Ugh.
I thought that was funny.
Anyways, it used to be, and now it's not.
It's overstayed. It's
so
welcome.
Over.
Anyways. Over.
Yeah, that. I mean, if you've been listening to this podcast for more than just this episode, you already know that I am not the cleanest person in the world. I'm not like dirty and gross, but I am not tidy. So I put things in piles, okay? Anyways, that was my contribution to this part of the marriage goal, because I know that that will make things a lot easier on Zach. And that is really like one of our biggest fights, is like messy stuff happening.
The house and money.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's almost always what it is.
No, that's absolutely not true. But those are two of the things that it is.
Wait, what?
What was our fight about yesterday? Not that. It was about other things.
But wouldn't you say that money
in the house are two big stressors? Yes.
Okay.
That's why I'm trying to ease one of those stressors.
So we have a couple of things that we're doing. One of mine is attending a marriage conference.
That's one of ours. You're not going to go alone.
Well, I'm going to drag you with you. You didn't know this, but Kauai is actually a marriage conference. Schedule 4 dates a month, 2 at home.
Or it's just one a week. Saturdays.
Okay, yeah, one a week. Saturday nights,
yeah,
is date night, and we have a scheduling meeting now, because literally every day we have multiple things, multiple things going on every single day, and it just gets crazy.
We do it every week at the beginning of the week because we just gotta, or we gotta know what's happening, or yeah.
But we also have to schedule the things that are important, like mm-hmm. date night, because what gets scheduled gets done.
Oh my.
At least for me. Like, if I see it on the calendar, I'm like, oh, yep, I've already committed to this. I guess I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's true. It's just a funny saying that you always say.
Well.
There's a lot of those these days.
I'm sorry. We are also going to be praying together every night. And
before we go to bed.
One of mine is to write a note on Thursday before I leave for work.
For me?
No, for my other one.
I'm just wondering if you're going to write it to like someone else in this house. Wow, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, so in order to do that, I have set a reminder on my phone to remind me at 4:30 on Thursday to write a note so that I can write it before I leave work.
Yeah. Leave for work?
Leave work. I'm not writing at 4:30 a.m. I'm not getting up that early.
Oh, I thought you were in the morning.
No.
When can I expect these notes? Thursday evening? Friday morning?
You don't know. I might give them to you on Monday.
Dang it. Well, that's not fair.
It's not fair? What do you mean it's not fair?
I want the note.
Sometimes I leave notes for you on the bathroom, but then you threw away the dry erase marker, and I don't know where it is. Unless you want me to waste all of your...
You can't use a paper towel? Or your hand?
No. How am I supposed to write it? Because you got a little frustrated when I use my lipstick. Your lipstick. Side note, I wear lipstick.
Well, he did use my favorite color, but I mean, that's still up in our bathroom because I like that. I will supply you with markers.
I put a dry erase marker there for a purpose and now I can't find
it. It's in that basket. It's in the basket.
I'll probably never find it in that
basket.
I have
so many baskets too. I'm a basket person and a pile person.
What basket?
The basket on the bathroom counter.
Okay. In our bathroom?
Yes.
Okay. So with minimizing our home, that's one of the big things. We have begun the process.
And that's another thing that we're doing together. It's like a project we're working on.
Every week, we are doing a different room. And we're breaking up into smaller tasks. So we actually, our living room and our dining room and family room, they're all one giant room. Actually, our kitchen is in it also. And we've done actually pretty good at minimizing it. We don't have a TV. We don't have an entertainment center. We have one couch. We have two chairs and a dining room table and some books. And actually, all of our plants died.
Except one.
Two. I guess three.
It was like Christmas break. And then like we got back, we just never watered them. And we're like, we just forgot about them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know.
Well, I know why one of them died.
Why?
Because I thought that it was the same plant, and so I potted two plants into the same pot, and half of it died, and half of it slowly died. They did not like each other.
We're not plant people, but like we're trying to be, but like we're not very good at it.
I kept my two alive for like a year.
Somehow that one is still alive, even though I have not even touched it in months. It's going strong.
So basically what we figured out is we didn't have a lot to minimize in our living and family and dining room because we've pretty much gone through it already. The only things that we have to minimize is the kids' stuff.
Because there's not a ton of me and Zach's belongings out here. Mm-hmm. It's mainly just the kids' stuff. Like, they got two boxes of books and toys, like little boxes. And then Forrest has got a cupboard with all his craft stuff in it. And you know, and he always has toys out on the table. He really likes playing his guys and stuff at the kitchen table. So he's
Which
always
I really like that.
Yeah, but I wish that he could just do it in his room or like just anywhere else but the kitchen table, because there's always stuff all over the kitchen table. And then he'll get out another thing, and then it's like, oh no, I need to play with my guys with my Legos. They need to meet each other. And then it's just like a big mixed up mess. So they've got a lot of their stuff out here. But yeah,
but we did go through our books, and what we actually did is we took every book off of the shelf and decided what we were going to keep. We didn't get rid of a lot. We got rid of a table. We got rid of some dead plants. We got rid of a pile of books and
like
moved the piano
four
in.
Books. But we organized the books by type, like what it is. We've got like cookbooks and lifestyle skill books and inspirational books, Enneagram books. Which, why did you put that on the top shelf? I can't reach that.
I'll reach it for you.
Okay. And then like, what is that up there? Like workbooks, I guess, like for
Personal growth
personal
and development.
Personal growth, yeah. And then like Christian books. Yeah, so there's a whole bunch. There's different categories. And it looks so good. And I like that it's categorized. Oh, poetry section. It's very small, but it's there.
Yeah, so yep. We decided what we wanted the purpose of our rooms to be. And this room, the family room, dining room, living room, it's a giant one. We wanted it to be for spending time together.
Community,
and like a good place for conversation. And we figured it's not actually a good place for conversation because it's so open. So in our minimizing journey, we found out that the purpose of this room actually... we are gonna buy another couch. So how's that for minimizing or simplifying?
I mean, I think that it's better than having, you know, that love seat chair, whatever, back there, and, you know, things that we don't use, because to make it more of something that we, what we want to use our house for.
Right. Right, which is a main point of the book, Minimalist Home by Joshua Becker, which just came out in December. And he talks a lot about the purpose of minimizing is not to get rid of stuff, but to focus more on the stuff that you love and enjoy. Which in our case, we're starting a community group here. We like to have people over. We like to have family and friends come out. We like to have the kids play out here. That's why their toys are out here, so they're not secluded to their room. And so we want our family room to actually be a family room. And mm-hmm. we want for it to be a... Hannah uses the word cozy, which you can't define.
Yes, I can. Like squishy, comfy, close together.
Wait, why didn't you say this when I asked you?
You didn't ask me to define cozy.
I said, what do you mean? And you said, I don't know, it's just...
Because, okay, I will explain this to you. We literally had a single couch on the wall, and from the couch, where the couch was, to like our dining room table is probably like 25 feet. how much would you say it is?
18.
Okay, well, 18. I wasn't off by much. It's just a really big space, and it's just an open space with nothing there. Like, it didn't really feel like a living room. Like, it didn't feel... like, it wasn't cozy. It was too wide open to be cozy. And our ceilings are really tall, which that's nice. But, I mean, I just want it to be, like, a comfortable, cozy, warm room, like, an inviting space to be. And, like, when we have people over, we're never sitting on the couch. We're only at the table because you can't really have a conversation in our living room the way that it is, because it's just a couch. And then there's like two rocking chairs on the side, but it's like, I can't even see you over there because they're
yeah,
so big.
I guess gets to the point of what is the purpose of minimizing. It's so that you can enjoy the things that you love more fully. And
yeah.
a lot of people think that like minimal design and minimal like it just looks like very clean and neat and orderly, which is true, but we don't have a TV or anything, and the couch was kind of just up against the wall, and it looked really nice. In fact, I kind of want to move the couch back.
Well, if we get another couch, then we are going to move this couch back there and put the other one over here.
But it was purely aesthetic. I mean, we sat on the couch, but like when we had people over, we couldn't have conversations with people like face to face unless we were at the table.
And there wasn't really enough spots for very many people. There's like, what, maybe 4 spots on this couch and 2 spots over there. So it's like there's, I don't know. They're just, we weren't setting it up for what we said we wanted to use our house for. So we are deciding to change that.
Right.
And like if we have this house, like we deserve to make it into something that we're going to use and love to be in. You know, like I want to be in the living room and like love to be out here. You know, I want to invite people over and have them feel really welcome and warm and cozy. That's cozy is very important to me. I don't know how else to explain it. It just is. It's just really important to me. So that's why I like blankets.
Which we have a lot of blankets, but it's fine.
We do. We don't need more blankets, but we're also not going to get rid of any more. Please.
You don't even know.
Babe, please.
What have I gotten rid of?
I'm threatening you. Don't do it.
In the dark of the night.
Anyways, so yeah, we're just figuring out what that means for our house and for us and trying to do it well. Oh, one thing that we do, another thing that we found we do need to get is another rug. And so, because we needed to put one underneath the piano, and so we used the one by the front door, but now we would like to have one by the front door. So anyways, we were looking. This, I think, is an important point.
Okay, go ahead.
We were looking at, well, Zach told me that he got rid of the ginormous rug that I bought on accident off Rugs USA. They were having really good sales, so I just got a big rug.
Sale. Accident. A keyword.
Accident. Okay. Sale meaning like you can't return this. Anyways, so I got a big rug. I didn't really think about the dimensions. I was just like, yeah, that'll fit. That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. 40 by 20?
It was not 40 by 20. It was probably like 18 by 11, I think.
No, it was like 18 by 30. It barely fit in the garage, which is a 2-car garage.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Anyways. So the rug arrives and I was like so excited. We've cleaned out here. It was like right after our roommates moved out. We cleaned everything out and I'm like taking the rug out. It like doesn't even fit in our entryway. It was like so huge. So anyways, Zach broke the news that he got rid of that. I don't even know where I was hoping to put that, but it was a really pretty rug and I just really wanted to like have a spot for it someday. Anyways.
But it was also like paper thin. Like
whatever.
A canvas drop cloth.
I don't think that it wasn't bad quality. Just because it's thin doesn't mean it was bad quality. It was, that's how the rug was. It doesn't need to be huge. But anyways, beside the point. So then Zach was like, okay, well, we'll just look on Costco. We'll find one like that. So we looked on Costco and he's like, well, what about this one? This one's fine. I was like, no, I don't like that. I don't like the flowers. I think it's ugly. I don't want to get it. And so then we got to the end of the Costco one and he was like, well, just pick one. I was like, no, I'm not going to get a rug that I semi-dislike, semi-like, just so we can get it from Costco. Then I don't even want to get one at all. So I'm finding one that I like, that I love, and that we're going to like having in our house. Not just like, okay, fine, this will work, you know? Because then it's just like, you're just accumulating stuff that you don't really like, and that's, you're just going to get rid of that someday. So,
mm-hmm.
Anyways, that's important. But like to you, like rugs don't matter. You're like, okay, is it a rug? Fine.
No, I like all of the rugs that we have.
I do too. But I picked that one.
Yep.
And I also picked that one. Mm-hmm. And it's not just like some like whatever. It's like I chose them because I like them and I want them in our house.
Does it spark joy?
They both do, yeah. And the one that I chose that I'm going to get is also sparking joy. So spark joy, spark joy. I love her. She's so cute.
Marie Kondo.
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 Yeah. Spark Joy.
She wrote The Art of...
Everybody knows. Everybody knows what she wrote. And there's a show on Netflix, and it's actually really good.
And also, the first episode is a very good representation of the boat that we are in right now.
Except, I have already minimized my clothes a ton, and I have nowhere near the amount of clothes that she had.
Yeah, that was horrendous.
Yeah, she had two closets just to herself, and her husband's clothes were somewhere else, which I'm not judging. I'm just saying that's not me. I don't even have any, like, hardly any clothes in her closet, so just... But the rest of the stuff, like the two kids thing, and they talk about how their main stressors are the house and money, and how like the wife is not as tidy as the husband is, and blah blah blah. So it's like really similar to our situation. So the first episode was like, it was good.
And we had to skip through the second episode because it was stressful for Hannah.
Because she had like six rooms of clothes, and the downstairs. Oh, okay. Anyways, you should watch it. It's really, really good.
Whatever you do, do not watch Hoarders because...
Oh my gosh.
You'll get sucked in and then drawn into a wave of depression and anxiety.
I will say, he was watching that out here and I was like, why are you watching this? He's like, I can't take my eyes off of it. And then like an hour later...
It's watching a train wreck.
Like an hour or two later, he came in and was really snappy and angry and mean to me. So if you're really tidy... person who likes organization and order, do not ever watch Hoarders. It will bring out the worst in you.
That's the worst of me?
I mean, it wasn't that bad, but yeah, I would say it was like, you know, it was your bad side.
I was real ugly. I had an ugly heart for a few days after watching that. I was just like, I can't believe you pigs.
And then I was like, is this because you just watched Hoarders? Do you honestly think I am like the people on Hoarders? And then he was like, oh, well, no, but I was so mad. I was so annoyed. Anyways, yeah, watch that show. I think it's called Tidying Up on Netflix. Everybody, I really think everybody can benefit from stuff like this. Like what Zach's talking about, like minimizing and stuff. And I know that that's like a big trend these days is like, oh, I'm simplifying and whatever. But I think it's a trend for a reason. And I don't think that it's like just because it's a trend, you should just discount it because it's probably nothing. But I think it's worthwhile.
And I think that when you define the purpose of minimalism as focusing most on the stripping away all of the distractions and the things that do not mean the most to you in order to allocate that time and energy and emotional bandwidth to the things that you actually love and enjoy, I think that everyone could benefit from that.
Yeah.
However, when you are just minimizing in order to get rid of stuff and just have less, that is kind of self-serving and... like it's
I don't think a lot of people care if it's self-serving or not, though.
I'm just saying, like, that the end goal is what you have less stuff, like, so what, like, you leave a
what, so you're, but you are doing that exact same thing with your 100 things challenge, though.
No,
about a number.
No,
of
but
things,
the purpose is different and it's a challenge and I like challenges, honey.
Well, yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but you're saying that if you're doing it just to get rid of things and just to have less stuff, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
No, I'm saying if the purpose is ends with just getting rid of stuff and the purpose is not focused on creating a home that you love, focusing most, like, there's a lot of minimalist authors that I've read who are like, cut out people who are toxic and... make new friends who only, because you're the average of the top five people that you spend the most amount of time with. So everyone that is your friend should be bringing you up and not bringing you down. And
I mean, I kind of agree with all of those things, but I think there is a difference in letting someone being the top influence in your life and like letting them just be part of your life.
Right. Well, a lot of the authors, for example, one of the authors that I read, he got a divorce because his wife was not bringing him enough value.
That's sad.
And it's just like, what?
Yeah, well, that's an extreme, I would say.
Well, I'm saying that that extreme is born out of the purpose of just getting rid of stuff that, just getting rid of stuff just for the sake of getting rid of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're focusing, if you want to actually devote more time and energy to the things that you love, then there are going to be sacrifices that you have to make.
Mm-hmm.
But the purpose is so that you can be more loving, more kind, more caring, spend more quality time, focus on the things that matter the most. And at least for me, like, I believe that we were made to love other people and serve other people and try to be kind and generous and loving. And a lot of the minimalist stuff that's on the other side doesn't really seem to serve that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, make my life better, make my life simpler, make my life easier. And while those are good things, if that is the end goal, I think that that's stupid.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of why partly I think that it's a trend right now. And a lot of the people who are jumping on that bandwagon are not thinking about, like, what's the actual purpose of me doing this?
Well, I think that if they're jumping on the bandwagon, then at least they're starting that. You know, at least they're starting to see, like, we don't have to buy so much stuff all the time. And, you know, like, this is what happens when we buy so much stuff all the time. We have way too much stuff, most of which we don't care about. And I think that, like, a starting point is better than nothing at all. And so I think it's good that they're jumping on the bandwagon, and hopefully it will lead to more of, like, realizing, why does this feel good to get rid of things I do not have a need or a want for anymore? Like, why is this, you know, like, why is this good? And then maybe they will come to the realization that it helps you to value the things that you do love more.
Hmm.
Because with, like, capsule wardrobes got really popular for a while. And I can fully say the first two times I did them, I did one, I had no idea what I was doing. And I was doing it because it was a trendy thing. But then this last time that I did it, I didn't buy a whole bunch of new clothes just for my capsule wardrobe. I looked at what I had and what I really loved and just kept those things out for the month. And I didn't limit myself to a number. I just wore those things that I loved, and I really liked it. It was so nice and made me, like, I got to wear my favorite clothes all the time. I didn't have to wear stuff that I didn't like, or I didn't even have to look at the stuff that I didn't like because I didn't have it out. So I think that, like, my first two times doing the capsule wardrobe, it was like just getting access to what is happening. Just getting access to the idea of a more simplified wardrobe, even though I did it completely wrong. But I had that, I was exposed to that life, I guess, and that, like, way of dressing yourself. And then, I don't know, and I think that was good. It took me a couple years to finally come around and figure out, like, what is the real reason to do this and how to actually do it effectively so that it helps my life and simplifies my life. And it was really, really good. And I need to simplify my wardrobe again. But I don't know. It was really good.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. I just don't like it when people jump on.
Negative Nancy.
I'm not negative. Am I?
It is kind of negative because I know that it's like, maybe you feel like protective of this because it's kind of like your thing that you've been passionate about for a while. And whenever I see anything that's like a trend, I always roll my eyes a little bit, but I do think that it's good because it is, I mean, it's a starting point and maybe people will make something more out of it than just a trend. You know, like for me, The capsule wardrobe the first two times was just a trend that I was trying to figure out, but it was a starting point for me. And now I have a smaller wardrobe than I probably would if I had never done that years ago.
Hmm.
So I understand your apprehension, but I disagree.
I think it's a great TV show.
Yeah,
and
it is.
I wish that more people were minimalists and lived mm-hmm. simply. But I guess my idea of minimalism is shaped from a bunch of different things. And I think that it's super important and that everyone can benefit from it, but only if they define their purpose of it. You know? Like, what is the purpose of the goals that we have
yeah.
for 2019?
I know that you think that's important. I know that.
Or like, for example, you set a goal for 2019, get in shape, be healthy, be fit. Then what are you going to have to do in order to achieve that? You're going to have to go to the gym 3 times a week. But if you don't know the purpose of going to the gym, then you're just doing it to be in shape. And what is that? Why is that? Like, what lasting power and effect
yeah,
does that have in your
I
life?
Understand what you're saying. I just don't think it's everybody's destiny to become as passionate about this as you are.
Mm.
So any amount of influence, in my opinion, is good for them.
Hmm. Do you think so?
I do. Yes, I do. Because feels really, really good to get rid of things that you know you don't use and you don't want and you don't need. That feels very good. So even just that freeing feeling can maybe turn the light on for some people that have previously been bound by consumerism and materialism for however long, you know, and even if it helps people just to not buy so much stuff, I think that that's good.
Yeah. Agreed.
They don't need to buy into the whole thing in order for it to be good for them.
But like you had said, when you did the capsule wardrobe for the first 2 years, you went out two times. You went out and bought all new stuff and then got rid of stuff. So you actually accumulated more.
No, for the first one, I got rid of stuff and I didn't buy all new stuff, but I bought a whole bunch of stuff that I thought I needed to do a capsule wardrobe. For me, that first time, it wasn't about like minimizing. It was just about seeing if I could do this challenge with clothes. And then as I got into it, then I realized more like how it was more about how you can focus on the clothes that you actually love wearing rather than having a whole bunch of choices that you don't really love wearing. And then you feel like you have to make outfits out of things you don't like and et cetera, et cetera. So it didn't even start out as a minimalist thing for me at all. It wasn't even, I never had any desire to minimize really. It was just, I wanted to do this challenge with clothes to see if I could do it.
Hmm.
So I don't know, but I'm saying minimalism in general, like this tidying up show, if people see this and it inspires them to change their lives a little bit, even just think twice about things that they buy rather than just emotional shopping at Target or going online shopping or whatever, then I think that it's good. So that's my 2 cents. You don't have to agree with me. That's okay.
I'm still coming around.
Okay.
Still coming around.
This is a long episode.
Yeah, well, let's end it.
Yeah, we're making up for our lost time.
Yeah, we'll just ramble on forever.
Is this 2 hours long?
I'm not sure.
We need to go to bed.
I think it's an hour. Anyways, I hope that your 2019 is going great. Next week we will be talking about something else, but also probably talking about some of our goals. And if I can encourage Hannah a little bit more to set up her rituals, then we might be talking about rituals.
I am trying to figure out my rituals. I just haven't gotten them down yet.
Yeah. I'm still working on mine. Also.
I think you have them down a lot more than me, but yeah.
Well, anyways, thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate it. Leave us a voicemail because we haven't heard from you in forever, except for that one person who butt dialed me 14 times today. The music sounded really good. Think you're playing guitar. Couldn't Aww. Tell. Yeah. We will talk at you next week.
Happy trails.
Wait.
You said my thing, and so I said your thing. Happy trails.